51 in the regular hymn book.
Chapter 10. Wow, that was good. All right. That was a joyful time. It's the reason why we go to church. One of the reasons why is so that we can sing together and enjoy the fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to your, in your hearts to the Lord, it says to do. So that's what we want to do. And that was good. Thank you, Ralph, for taking care of that. And did you notice we didn't have any songs with five verses? They all had three. I was wondering how many we'd get tonight with maybe five or six verses in them. But we had all good ones there with three verses or less. That was good. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and starting at verse 23. What are we doing? What are we studying about? We're studying in a section how that the New Testament is better than the Old Testament and takes the New Testament is better than and takes the place of the First Testament because, and we saw that number one, it was prophesied to be better. Number two, because the New Testament is actual, whereas the First Testament was typical or symbolic. And then number three, the New Testament is better than the Old because it is made effective with better blood. Better blood. And I hope you understand that to mean the better blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to chapter 10, and this whole section of that the New Testament is better than the Old Testament takes us right up through chapter 10, verse 39. And then in chapter 11, we'll go on into a different theme altogether in the book, which will be in reference to faith not works the way of salvation as proved by instances of First Testament saints. But that'll be when we get to chapter 11. But right now we're looking at this, and we're at verse 23. Last week, if you remember, we saw the verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Three things in there are typical in the Old Testament, but actual in the New Testament. And so then verse 23, all these things leading up to this are types which lead the Hebrew readers to Christ. The unsaved Jew is exhorted to come all the way. And that's what happens in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Notice how that last phrase, "for he is faithful that promised," is in parentheses, almost like as if it's an explanation, just an added exclamation to "let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Here, the unsaved Jew is exhorted to hold fast his profession and not waver between the desire to go on to faith in the Messiah and not go back to the Old Testament sacrifices. Don't go back. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't go back. There's no reason for the Christian to doubt, and there's no reason for the unsaved Hebrew to doubt that Jesus Christ can do what he's promised to do. No reason for the Christian to doubt, no reason even for the unsaved to doubt. For God's salvation is sufficient. Why? For he is faithful that promised. God will not go against his own words that he has said. God is faithful that promised. And verse 23, we get an exhortation to continue attendance upon the New Testament assembly. Interesting here in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Here the believers are exhorted to continue attendance upon or with the New Testament assembly. Now we're comparing the New Testament with the Old Testament. He's not encouraging here the saved to go back to the temple or to the synagogues for continued fellowship. He's telling them, I want you all who know the Lord as your Savior and who have put your trust in him to continue to assemble together and fellowship one with another. We are not confined to our individual relationship and attitude, but our Christianity affects others also. You know, a lot of people don't see the importance of going to church. They're kind of independent. Well, I'm a loner. I'll go this alone. I'm glad I'm saved. I understand who Jesus Christ is. I've accepted his salvation. But you know what? I really don't need a congregation of people. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you you're wrong. If I can just put it as bluntly as I can, you're wrong. Okay, you need the congregation of the believers, the assembly of the believers. Don't go it alone. And God does not intend that you go it alone. Yes, salvation is an individual thing, and it first starts off with you individually having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, having trusted him as your personal Savior. But you're not asked to go from that point on until we get to the rapture or till you die or till we get to heaven all alone. You're encouraged here by the Lord to be a part of others who also believe the same way. We are not confined to our individual relationship and attitude about this, but our Christianity affects others. When the Lord saved you, yes, He saved you individually, but you know what He wants? He wants you to influence others. Not only the lost of the world, but even other believers in the Lord. And you need to see that you have a responsibility before the Lord in the New Testament age to affect others for the cause of Christ. And what are we to do in verse 24? And let us consider one another to provoke. We are to provoke in a good sense. Now, you know, provoke a lot of times, you know, like as if you're poking somebody, making them upset. But no, this provoke is a good provoke in a good sense. To provoke love and good works from our brothers. So if we love and do good, so will others. In other words, we're trying to provoke them to love. You ought to love, and you ought to do good works. You know what you need to do? Provoke others to do that same thing. As it says here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's not be busy about provoking to anger, provoking to slander, provoking to irritating one another, but no, rather to love and to good works. And then verse 25. See, this is what the New Testament brings. Now, the Old Testament doesn't do this because it doesn't work down into the heart. It doesn't change the inside. It's written on tables of stone. Whereas the New Covenant is written in our heart. And this is the love of Christ that's to be shown forth out to others. And this is a totally different thing than the Old Testament. And looking forward to the day when we'll be able to, if you were in the Old Testament, you'd be looking forward to the day when you'd be able to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, guess what? We're in that new covenant now. And we should be doing this. And then verse 25 takes this just a little bit further by saying, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So, you know what? Going to church and getting people to attend services is not a modern day problem. It's been going on since the very beginning of the Christian church. And it is a sad commentary that it was going on then and it's still going on now. And when we look at the rest of this verse, there really should not be any reason for us to be forsaking the assembling, especially as you see the day approaching. And are we not getting closer to that day than they were closer to in the very beginning of the church age? We're talking 2,000 years later. We are closer now to the Lord's return for His church and to capture us home. There shouldn't be any of us who isn't saying, preacher, when can we meet again? When's the next meeting? When's the next time we can gather together and exhort each other to love and to good works? So let me read this verse. Let me finish reading this verse, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing that churches are canceling more services than they are keeping services. The Wednesday night prayer meeting service is just about a thing of the past in most churches. And in the big program churches, I hope you know what I mean by that, program churches, okay? They got something going on every day of the week. Wednesday night prayer meeting no longer really exists, even though they still meet. They meet and the kids are rushed off into their Awana programs, their youth programs, and mom and dad sit in the auditorium all by themselves and they get a little message, announcements are given, and then they say, if you'd like to stay after and pray, okay. And many times the pastor isn't even staying for prayer, but he leaves. You say, I never heard of it. We've heard of this. That the pastor doesn't even get into the prayer meeting times. Well, your pastor here, he tries to find any group he can get in on and listen to you pray, and he likes to pray together with you. And it's just a wonderful time to hear the brothers in the Lord praying. And then we can also hear the ladies in the front part of the auditorium praying. And it's just a wonderful thing. You know what always, and I'll just throw this in here for whatever effect it might have upon you. I think it's always amazing on prayer meeting night that God up in heaven can actually hear all the prayers that are being prayed all at the same time. How does he do that? I know I can't. I couldn't possibly keep track of everything that's going up on a prayer meeting night. We've got four or five groups of ladies up here praying together, and they're praying all together. We've got four or five groups of men in the back praying together, and all these prayers are going up to the Lord up there in heaven. And I believe he hears every one of them. I believe he hears each one distinctly, and he's interested in each and everything that's being said in each of those prayers. So don't ever give it up. Churches are canceling their Sunday evening services. They're making the other services shorter. I don't think this is wrong or anything. In fact, if any of you want to get involved in doing something like this, but you know what? It's not just coffee and donuts. That's not why we come to church. And that has nothing to do with our breakfast, by the way. We're coming to church in order to fellowship, sing together, read the scriptures, study the Bible, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and get ourselves all ready to leave this place and go out into that world, which is no friend of grace, no friend of our Savior, and try to be a witness to it. And so then we can't wait to get back here, get our batteries spiritually, if you want to call it spiritual batteries, recharged, so that we can go back out there into that world. And so don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I've got 10 points in this regard. We are going to be here forever tonight. Okay, well, here's number one. We should be regular attenders to our assembly's meetings. Now, I refer to our church time here as an assembly. We are assembled together out from the world. We've left the world and we've come and gathered here. We thank God for a building, but you know what? This building is not the house of God. You are the house of God. The house of God came in tonight, and the house of God's going to leave tonight. And this place is just going to be sitting here. You are the house of God, and when it meets, you should be there. Number two, illness, frailty, feebleness of age. And of course, I see that creeping into our church more and more. I don't know if you realize our church is getting older. Have you noticed that? I see more canes. I haven't seen crutches yet. But I see more canes. I see more hard eyesight. And I didn't see these things before, but I see them now. And we're getting older. Illness, frailty, feebleness of age, and necessary work may keep us away. But that's the only things I can think of that should keep you away. Number three, we need to meet corporately, and that means as a body of believers, to worship the Lord and have Christian fellowship, whether the group is large or small. Because I don't believe the Lord is concerned about how big. He just wants to know, are you there? Are you there? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. And so, you know, you get less than that, it's just yourself. All right? As soon as you got another person, you've got a gathering. You've got an assembly. And if by God's grace you get a third, now you've got a crowd. Okay? And you just keep adding to that. Well, folks, we got a good number here tonight. And it's a blessing to have left the world. And here we come, 6:30 at night, and it's almost 7:30. And what are we doing? We're singing, we're fellowshipping, and now we're studying God's word. And it tells we need to meet corporately to worship. Number four, not just Sunday, but other times also. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but so much the more. Not just on Sunday morning, Some people, that's all they're going to give to God Sunday morning. You know what? You're no different than the lost, hell-bound sinners who attend their services in their cold, dead, liberal churches on Sunday morning, thinking that that day of obligation, that going to church on Sunday morning, somehow gives them favor with God. No, that's not the reason why we come together. I would encourage you to do more than Sunday morning. Hey, I'm glad you come on Sunday morning. You know, I'm glad for the Sunday morning crowd. I'm glad that they, you know, they help us out and they put offerings in the offering and things like that. They help us, things like that. But you know what? That's not what matters. You need the fellowship of the saints together. Number 5. We need to pray and encourage one another and count on to be prayed for and encouraged. Well, if you didn't need each other, then don't bother going to church. You're an island all unto yourself. I remember back in the 60s, there was a song, I am an island. You know, I forget how it went. But you know what? You're not an island. You belong to the body of Christ. Jesus Christ died on that cross to purchase your salvation and put you into the body of Christ. And we need to fellowship one with another, pray for one another, encourage one another, and count on to be prayed for and encouraged. Isn't it good when someone says to you, I was praying for you this week? Wow. Because I know there's times during the week when maybe I don't pray like I should. It's sure good to know that maybe somebody else is taking my name to the Lord in prayer. And that's a blessed thing to know. Number 6. Church is a foretaste of heaven. You say, well, you know, I don't really like going to church, Pastor. You know, some of the people there, I just don't get along with. Guess what? You're going to be spending forever with them. So you might as well get used to it. Now, that's not a real good reason to come to church. But you know what? That's a bad reason to stay away. All right? You're not going to get along with everybody. And everybody has their own personalities and idiosyncrasies and things like that. But this is a foretaste of heaven. Someday we're all going to have perfect bodies and perfect minds. We'll be just like Jesus and everything. And we're going to be together in the meetings up there in heaven. And I don't think that any of you, when you get to heaven, are going to say, well, I'm staying home tonight, Lord. I thank you for the mansion. I'm going to just stay in my mansion tonight. You're all going to be wanting the front row seat. Boy, the front row. It's the worst place in most churches, the front row seat. Nothing on you there, Lance, but the front row seat. Everybody avoids that like you're going to get sick if you sit there. You'll all be vying for the front row seat in heaven one of these days. So let's start going to church now. Number seven. Oh, I'm up to 7 already. Those who do not desire fellowship are in a low spiritual condition, and their testimony for Christ is weak. You say, well, how? That's very opinionated. Well, you're disobeying this scripture right here. So, hey, I'm not going to say, oh, it's really great that you're forsaking the assembling of the believers. You're really spiritually on a good plane. No, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So if you are forsaking, I can't honestly stand up here and say, you're really spiritual for not coming to church. You're disobeying what the Lord's asked. And this isn't even a commandment. This is an exhortation. This is a begging of you to do this. See, we're not under the Old Testament law. Under the Old Testament law, you had to be present at certain times of the year. Don't even some churches have what they call holy days of obligation? We don't have any of those here, all right? You say, well, I don't know. It sounds like we got to be here all the time or something's wrong with it. Well, you got to determine it. You got to figure it out. We ought to want to go to church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Those who do not desire fellowship are in a low spiritual condition, and their testimony for Christ is weak. You know, if you don't ever go to church, are you ever going to invite anybody else to church? Probably not. because you're not planning to be there yourself. How often this has happened over the years? I can tell you this over and over again. So-and-so comes walking in through the door, a brand new visitor, never been here before. And I go up and introduce myself to them, and I always like to find out how people found out about us. Well, a person named so-and-so, they said they come to your church. I don't see them here tonight. And I have to fill in and make excuse and say to them, well, they don't attend very regularly. That's a great witness. You know, that's really going to cause them to want to come back again. So much better that you be here when they come walking in and you've invited them here. And, hey, sit with me tonight, you know. There they sit all by themselves, having been invited by someone in the church who isn't even here and who regularly absents themselves. That's not good. That's a weak testimony for the Lord. Now, I put that out there. You take it for what it's worth, okay? Number 8, those who attend may not be spiritual giants, but they will be fed and they will be encouraged and learning how to serve the Lord. All right, just because you come doesn't mean you're a spiritual giant. So, you know, let's not take the other side of this thing. You know, we can talk about those who don't attend and they absent themselves. They're not spiritually strong. All right. Yeah, well, I come to all the services of the week. Does that make me a spiritual giant? No. But you know what? When you come, if it's a faithful church, if the preacher's a faithful preacher, and by God's grace, I hope we have that here. If not, well, then you need to start looking around. You're going to be fed. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be taught how to serve the Lord. That's why you come. Number 9, as the days of the Lord's coming gets nearer, we should desire fellowship even more. This morning we talked about some signs of the soon coming of the Lord for the church. And wasn't it encouraging? I know it was discouraging to hear the signs, you know, but it's encouraging to know we expect this to happen. We expect this to happen just before the Lord returns. And some of you said, you know, it's a real blessing to know that it's just right around the corner. Well, if we do believe this, then we should be getting together more and more as we see the day approaching. Let me ask you, in your heart, answer this to yourself. Do you see the day of the Lord approaching more and more? I mean, as you look at this world and things going on in it, I mean, just yesterday or 2 days ago was Ireland voted 68% to 38% to put homosexual marriage into their constitution. If that isn't a sign of the times, I don't know what is. And then there's just a host of other things going on in our own country that tell me the Lord's coming is soon. It's got to be soon. And the condition of the church is so bad. It's such a mess out there in the churches. They're compromising with the world and the world's music, the world's philosophy. And evolution is creeping into our churches. Humanism into our churches. New ageism creeping into our churches. You know what? The Lord's return must be soon. Because we've been told these things would happen in the end times. So as the day of the Lord's coming get nearer, we should have desire more to fellowship together. And then lastly, number 10, concerning the amount of meetings. Well, how many meetings am I supposed to go to, preacher? All right, well, this is a nebulous answer back. Because I'm not going to tell you it's 4, 5, 6, or 7 or whatever. I'm not going to tell you that. However often your assembly has meetings, you should desire to go. Now, here are some things, here are some reasons people give. Some might say, I don't want to go that often. You just have too many services in the week. Your services just aren't at the time that I like them, and on and on, you know. Then you should go to an assembly that doesn't meet that often. Okay? How do you answer that? How do I answer that? You know, people say, well, Pastor Freeman, you just have too many meetings. You know what my answer back is? Well, then find an assembly that doesn't have that many. Well, the only ones that do that are apostate, liberal, Christ-denying churches. Yeah, I see. You got a little problem there, don't you? I only want one service a week. Okay, then find a good old-fashioned Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, fundamental, separated, preaching the word, trying to help people get saved kind of church that meets one time a week. Well, they're not, well then, there's your answer as to how many times should you go to church. Your only solution, see, I didn't even tell you how many times you're supposed to go to church. You know, sometimes we have extra meetings, and we haven't had that for a long time. But every once in a while, we've had evangelistic meetings, remember, like maybe Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Are you obligated to go? No, you're not obligated to go to any of them. You don't ever have to go to church if you don't want to. But I believe you ought to want to. I believe the Bible teaches you ought to want to. And if you say, well, there's too many services here at this church, well, then find a church that doesn't have too many. Well, they're no good. Well, then that answers it. And here's lastly, your only solution is to start acting like what you claim to be, an old-fashioned, fundamental Bible believer. Start acting like it. Start acting like it. And one of the ways you start acting like it is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Get there. And be there. Participate in it. This is for your good. You know, the Lord isn't doing this because he just wants to fill up your week with scheduled events. He knows you need the assembling of the believers together. And you need it. Do not forsake it. That's the message for tonight. All right. I wanted to get further because we're going to be looking at, there's a certain fearful, see verse 27? Certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Do you know if you do not pay attention to this new covenant, you're in worse trouble than those who didn't pay attention to the first covenant. Did I say that right? Maybe I didn't say that right. If you do not pay attention to the new covenant in Christ Jesus, you're in bigger trouble than those who didn't pay attention to the Old Testament covenant. And there was some real consequences for not paying attention to the first testament. We're going to look at those things. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be worthy who counts this new covenant not something to be honored and worthy? Well, we're going to look at that in these next few verses. Also, eternal security is going to come into play here in some of these verses as well. So, believer, what's the focus here tonight? I think that verse 24 and 25, isn't it interesting? We've been talking about the better blood of Christ, the better sacrifice. He's a better priest. And now all of a sudden, right smack in the middle, the Lord puts this exhortation to us. Hey, Christians, get together as often as you can. Especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Get together, don't forsake it. Because this new covenant, this new testament doctrine is so important to you. You need to learn. You need to exhort one another. You need to encourage each other. Get to church. All right, there you go. That's the exhortation there tonight. Get to church. Don't forsake it. Oh, boy. You know, I don't think that it's actually ever been seen what God could really do if a church really gets on fire for the things of the Lord. And everybody means business. What would the Lord be doing? Well, you know what? How about you start it? All right? You start the ball rolling. All right? You start really meaning business for the Lord and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. All right. Well, let's go to number 142 in our hymn book. Blessed Redeemer. Nobody picked that one. Wait a minute. Ralph, did someone else have a special that they didn't get in? Were you going to pick on somebody else? Who? No one else?
Kelly had one.
Oh, Kelly had one. What one is it, Kelly?
It's a good one.
821. We'll take hers. I kind of favor her a little bit. I really do like Kelly, by the way. All right. Yep. 821. Hey, folks. Grace greater than our sins. Let's stand and sing this, and then you can go home and have a good day tomorrow, Memorial Day. I hope some of you have a day off. Enjoy the day off. How many have off tomorrow? Raise your hand. How many have to work tomorrow? Raise your hand. We will be praying for you. Oh, that's too bad. Jim has to work. Mike, did you say you have to work? All right. Who else? Anybody else have to work tomorrow? All right. Well, I hope you can get some time off there tomorrow. But let's sing and be dismissed with grace greater than our sin. 821. 821. Marvelous grace of our Lord.